shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul, seal your doom tonight. Spooky, scary skeletons speak with such a screech. You'll shake and shudder in surprise when you hear these zombies shriek.
Welcome to the resurrection. It is the return of the Slasher Sanitarium. And what a return we're going to have, because I'm going to talk about a movie that at this point has kind of fallen out of the public eye, but it was one that for a hot minute everybody was jizzing over, and that is the movie Veronica. Now, Veronica can be seen on Netflix. When it first came out, there was a ton of hyperbole coming around saying that this was the scariest movie ever, and people were fainting and dying in theaters and shit like that. I'm here to tell you this movie kind of sucked, but we're going to get into that. So let's start things off here, because the movie starts off with a 911 call. Now, obviously not a 911 call because we were in Madrid, so I have no idea where, but I'm watching this maybe not through Netflix, maybe something else, and my subtitles were a little iffy through parts of this, but I'm going to do the best I can. So, we hear a very excited Spanish woman screaming, and she's saying that someone is in her house. The police quickly arrive, and someone is screaming Vero over and over, which we will later find out is the nickname for Veronica, our title character here. An old investigator arrives at number 8. The house has broken pictures on the ground, there's a noise that comes from the door, we see blood on the ground, and they enter the room, we get a slow zoom of the inspector's face before it cuts to a chick with braces yawning. So that is our cold open to this. It's a good way to kind of build up tension and kind of prepare us what we're going to see at the end of the movie without giving away anything, which I appreciate, because oftentimes whenever a movie starts with the ending, you know, it's not great. I mean, the Annihilation that everyone's been jizzing about also starts with them literally saying, like, everyone's going to die except for this one chick. So, don't get attached to them. And then you don't. So, we find out this is 3 days earlier. And our main character, Veronica, looks like she might be in need of a sandwich. She wakes up her sister and brother and another brother. I don't know, man. Like, this was hard to tell. I think she's got two brothers and a sister. She might have two sisters and a brother. I don't know. Whatever. But we find out her brother has peed the bed, and she aches off his pants, and gross, and the kid proceeds to hang dong on the camera. So thanks, Netflix. Now I'm going to be on a list. Vera starts up the washer, and she looks out the window to see a woman pretend singing into a microphone, which is weird. There's a solar eclipse coming, and the kids want to get ready to see it. Vera heads out into the hallway and to see the old Jesus has hopped off the wall again. That little bastard just will not stay on the wall. She then goes to her mother's room, who is sleepifying via some fun-looking pills. She wakes up while Veronica is looking through photos, and Veronica and her three siblings head to school. So, a lot of fucking information there, essentially showing that the mother is very absent from this family. It's not really going to come into play all that much, but sure, whatever. You know, and we also already kind of start with the weirdness, but we really shouldn't be starting with the weirdness, because that's not going to happen yet, but the whole, like, having Jesus knocked off the wall thing was kind of odd. We get some killer Spanish rock as a dude totally checks up Veronica, or maybe it was her brother. I don't know. These are not great subtitles. The little kid says that he will not piss his bed tomorrow, so good for him. The teacher for Ron's class is talking about the solar eclipse. Someone decides to throw something at Vero. I don't seem to speak Spanish, so I have no clue what it said, because my, you know, they didn't fucking tell me what it said. It just, I was, so, whatever. We see a slide of a human sacrifice, and I wish we learned about human sacrifice in my history class. All we learned was that Christopher Columbus totally didn't slaughter an entire race of people. Class is dismissed, and Vero and Rosa are waiting for Diana to join them. Now, again, this is where I have an issue with my subtitles. One, because her name is Rosa, and the subtitles are just straight translating what they say. So her name keeps showing up as red. And also, it says that Diana's name is Seat at Heart, which I doubt is correct, but sure. All right. Out on the roof, and everyone are getting special glasses for the eclipse. Meanwhile, Rosa, Vera, and Diana are heading to the basement. The girls are going to play with a Ouija board. Rosa and Diana have a debate over if a photo of a person is a personal item, because obviously that's what they're trying to do. Vera is trying to talk to her father, who is dead. And yeah, I'm with them on this. A photo of a person is not a personal item. That's just a picture of them. A personal item is something that they keep, unless, of course, it's a picture that they kept on them the whole time. But I doubt that this dude kept a picture of himself as like a personal item, but I don't know. Maybe he's an asshole. All the kids on the roof are using photo negatives to protect their eyes, which I thought was a really kind of a cool low-rent way to look at the eclipse. A blind nun is with them. Not sure what she's going to get out of this experience. The planchette moves, and Rosa asks if anyone wants to speak with them. The planchette moves again. Okay, got it. They are trying to talk to Veronica's father. He responds P-E-H, which I guess is C. The other two girls take their fingers off, and suddenly the planchette goes nuts. They put their fingers back on, and it flies around the board before landing on the sun face. It then heats up and burns the girls. So, yeah. Vero keeps her finger on it while the eclipse fully occurs. The glass then shatters, and Vero's blood drips on the board, and the candles fall over, but Diana stomps him out. Diana and Rosa scare each other before seeing that the spirit board is now broken in half. Pretty cheap shit. They find Veronica lying on the ground, and she is whispering something. I say something because I have no clue. She then sits up and screams while her mouth is unnaturally huge. So, all right. Here's the first issue that we're going to have here, because this is supposed to be based on a true story. And what they could do in this movie, and to say what they could do, I should really say what they should do, is play both sides of it. Present the facts that we know it, but still give us a way to kind of say, well, it's clearly not supernatural. Because if you know, this movie can be scary without them being like, it's completely supernatural, everything is supernatural. Obviously, this is also the first case in Madrid that they actually used like the term supernatural within a police report and chalked something up to a supernatural occurrence. But there's a lot of skeptics out there on if anything actually did happen or not. So I feel like the movie misses a huge opportunity here to be like, look, we're going to present to you like this scary shit, but there might be a reasonable explanation for it. But when you do things like have a planchette heat up and burn fingers, you're like, oh, it's supernatural. So we've chosen a side. We cut to a nurse shining a light in Veronica's eyes. They call her mother, but she doesn't answer. The nurse asks about diabetes, and she asks if she does any drugs. Then she asks about menstruation, which is really gross. Despite having a chest, 15-year-old Veronica has not had a period yet. Those two things do not sync up to me. Vero meets up with her siblings, and the little girl hangs back, but says the blind sister is staring Veronica down. And we see that she is. Or isn't. Because she's blind. We cut to a coffee shop. Oof. A coffee shop, as the kids arrive to their mother's work. So, the reason that the mother didn't answer was probably because she was at work, so they probably should have called her work. Vero cannot get a second to talk to her mother about the day she had, and they arrive home. Vero takes out the broken spirit board and hides it on top of her dresser. As she is leaving, she hears it fall. Then it falls again? She gets back into her room and picks it up off the floor, and it falls again to the floor. You need to find a better hiding place for this bitch. So then she decides to hide it under her bed and gets jump scared by her sister. Because, you know, every movie has to have jump scares. Everyone is eating a terrible looking dinner. as Irene explains how the eclipse works. Vera is having trouble eating as her hand keeps shaking, and her siblings have some terrible mouths to them. Suddenly, everyone realizes that Veronica is having a seizure. She puts meatball in her mouth and starts to drip sauce out of her mouth, which is kind of hot. Irene drops milk on the floor and snaps Veronica out of it. Veronica looks at her shoulder in the mirror and she seems to have a dark red mark on it. Rosa called the house, but the kids didn't get Veronica. Also, my subtitles again translated Rosa's name into pink. While accurate, it's also not accurate. Apparently, Rosa did not want to talk to Vera. Veronica calls Rosa back, but Rosa's mom says that she left with Diana. So that, this whole like subplot of like her friends don't want to be friends with her anymore because they were kind of weirded out about what happened with the spirit board thing is just filler, honestly. We cut over to Rosa as she is giving, Veronica, as she's giving Antonito a bath as Irene and the other two siblings are playing with walkie-talkies. She hears a loud bang out in the hall, and she finds out that the noise came from her room. She slowly walks to her room, and a Simon Says Go starts going off, as well as the lighting above her starts flashing. The door slams as Antonito starts screaming at her. After a few tugs, she gets the door open to find that the bathwater is now boiling and burning Antonito. She pulls him out, and he is covered with burns, but says he didn't touch the faucet. So now we have an attack on one of the children. And I know I'm going to keep harping on it, I'm going to keep belaboring on it, but once you get to the end of this, you'll see why this would have made more sense if they didn't just be like, she's possessed. Vera is rubbing lotion on Antonito before bed. She then starts to do the dishes. We get a slow, dramatic view of a glass. As soon as she touches it, the TV turns on. Vera turns off the TV, and someone is standing in the TV reflection. The thing watches Vera head off to bed. Well, that's nice and creepy. She takes the walkie-talkie with her. Now seems like a perfect time to move the spirit board. She then puts it in the closet. I'm not sure why Vera sleeps with headphones on, but she does, and that bothers me. She's like playing Russian roulette with her. I think I'd fucking strangle her and kill her in the middle of the night. But she's playing with a flashlight as well, and this sequence takes far too long as we slowly pan out with loud Spanish rock playing. This is like a 2 minute long scene of them slowly panning out as she's playing with a flashlight and music is playing and everything. It's just fucking terrible. Vero jumps awake thanks to a thump. Not sure how she heard that with headphones on though. But anyways, her closet door opens up and someone calls her name. She opens the closet to find both Irene and Lucia hiding in there. We hear someone whisper Veronica. She turns around to see a naked dude standing in her room. And he proceeds to keep repeating his name. He hangs dong and walks towards her. She calls out, Dad. So apparently this is her dad, and she has now seen her dad's dick. Before an arm grabs her and pulls her onto the bed. A bunch of demon hands are up from the mattress and grab her as Daddy Donghanger continues to walk forward before he melts into a demon figure. She screams as he reaches his demon cloud towards her, but psych, it's a dream. So, yes, here's another horror cliche. You could probably fucking drink every time there's a horror cliche in this, but you'd probably be as dead as my, as my fucking spirit and soul. The old horror cliche of having like this spoopy shit happen and then boom, somebody wakes up and it's a dream is so fucking overdone. While it was nice to see some dick in this movie, or not nice, I don't know, whatever. The whole like demon hands coming from just made me think of that scene when one of the demon hands like feels up the chick in Ghostbusters, and they definitely feel her up in this one too. So just a dream. Antonito is standing in a room and tells her he pissed himself. Veronica and the kids overslept, so they run off to school, but they make it just in time. Vera is going to throw a note at Rosa, but Rosa instead throws something at Diana, so fuck Veronica, I guess. She goes into their basement to recover the picture of her dad. When she stands up, Blind Nun is just chilling down there with her. She starts to blather on about smells, and she says she is a history teacher. She's smoking, which I doubt is okay, and she says they call her Death's Sister, but the nun is cool with this, which is actually kind of a cool name for an 80s band, too. She asks to see the picture. You heard me. She asks to see the picture. She says that they didn't talk to her father, but something else, and she will need to protect her siblings. She then keeps calling out, "Don't move," to something that Veronica and we cannot see. Also, I guess the nun can't see either, but, you know, whatever. I'm not going to stop making blind nun jokes, by the way. She says she feels a presence. The nun then blows smoke into Veronica's face and sniffs her. "Dick move, bro." Vera calls over Rosa, and she confronts Rosa about getting pushed out and asks if Rosa has seen it, but they are interrupted by Diana. Once home, Vero is reading a book about the occult, and she yells at Antonita for playing Simon Says. She sees the monster hand on the book she is reading, and she finds some protective runes and traces them on the window. So, now we've got our first line of defense. Lucia and Irene are playing dress-up, and Irene calls Lucia a robot. Again, there's, you know, some weird... The whole stuff with the kids, I guess they're trying to build a world around them, but I don't really care about any of the kids in this. Someone is at the door. It's Josephia, I guess. I guess it's a neighbor. She says there is a big black spot on her ceiling right below Vero's bed. Vero totally starts to creep on her neighbors, but drops the sheet she was putting out online down a few stories. She hears someone call her name through the walkie-talkie. She then hears the Simon Says game and sees light from her brother's room before the creature walks through the door. She runs to the room and turns on the lights, but everyone is asleep in bed. As she walks away, the Simon Says starts to go off again. We're using a Simon Says. A fucking handheld game from the 80s, I think? 70s, maybe even? As a way to try to make me scared. And it's not going to work. But it then floods the room with blue and red light, and we see a shadow heading towards the kids in the red light. He burns up the protective runes she put up while something holds her arm in place, leaving finger marks on her. So, fat lot of good those fucking things did. She calls for Lucia as the hand grabs Lucia by the throat. Lucia then thinks it's Vero as Irene hugs her. Vero wants them to grab their mattresses so they can all sleep together. So they all go to the living room, put all their mattresses together, and Lucia asks why Vero was choking her. Vero explains that she was protecting her from the evil spirit. That's one I haven't heard before. Vero vows to stay awake and protect the kids. Spoiler alert, she falls asleep immediately. She hears the creature say her name from the other room, so of course, she should go and investigate and leave the children alone. Also, bad sleep acting from Antonito here as he would not stop moving. Vera heads down the hall, and it's clear this is a family of hoarders. She sees the creature chilling outside, so of course, she heads on over to check it out. She grabs something, and the kids are now awake. She looks like she has grabbed a cross. Oh, good. The creature walks right up to the door, and the door opens, but it's the mother. And she says she's going to call the police, but the kids say it's a ghost. Pretty high and mighty considering the mother has spent all of 2 minutes with the kids this entire movie. Vero correctly says that the mother has no clue what is going on around here. I get that the mother needs to work a ton after the death of her husband. That's not the issue. The issue is that she is clearly hungover the first time we met her. So, like, the movie just doubles down on, like, the mother's not around. Which I wonder how the, like, actual mother feels about that. Because if she was, like, completely normal and fine, I'd be pissed. If she was a drunk, then fuck her. Vero throws on her headphones and starts playing with her flashlight again. Oh, God. And they do it again. More terrible rock and a slow pan to the ceiling. What is this fucking scene? Why the hell do they do it fucking twice in this movie? Like, ugh. It's just a fucking time waster, and it's like, I think that the director was like, I love this shot. I'm going to continue to use it. In the morning, Irene and Lucia wake up Vero, and they start to eat chunks of skin off of her. Antonito arrives to choke the shit out of her, and the mother slowly pans her hand over Vero and stops above her junk, which then starts to bleed a ton. Ah, period metaphors. We get a pretty cool transition of Vero standing up from bed, and we see that she has indeed gotten her period. So, now her boobies will grow. Oh, never mind. Also, that would be the second time they use the whole creepy things happen, but oh, it's just a dream. She should really use club soda on that bloodstain on her mattress, though. Scrubbing ain't gonna do any good. She lifts up the mattress, and it must have been a pretty heavy flow, because she's soaked all the way through. Oh, never mind, it's just some black sludge. Antonio says that his dad was here, and he read to him, and that he is coming back tonight. That's not creepy at all. I'm sure that's completely normal. Verissa tells him not to listen to him, and then she sees the same black sludge underneath Antonito's bed. This one on the in the shape of a dude. She checks the other kids' bed, and sure enough, they have it too. Pesky black mold. Once it gets in, you can't get it out. They head over to the restaurant, and Vera leaves the kids with their actual mother. And Vera returns to Blind Nun. She says that the shadow monster took her eyes. Blind Nun says that God has nothing to do with them, and Vera must close the portal. Well, we know that the runes don't work. We also have seen that apparently a cross doesn't work. The only thing that works is having your mother return home. Vera has to fix what she fucked up. The answers that she needs are burned from the books she has. So Vera finds a new occult book. But she finds out that because they did not say goodbye, the ghost will remain. So she just has to tell them goodbye. That is the dumbest fucking way to fucking solve this problem. Literally just have to like be like, okay, bye. And they'll just be like, all right, cool, see ya. All right, well, sure, whatever. She runs to Rose's house, and she is looking for Diana through the party. A dude tries to make out with Vera as she is screaming at Diana. Bad news, guys. Might not be the best time to do that. Rosa says that Vera told her she was going to die. We didn't see that, so I don't know when that happened. And it seems like a really weird fucking thing to be all creeped out about. But, you know, I guess throw away your friendship because one chick says something crazy one time. Vera then walks down the street in a daze. People behind her are going in reverse. It's actually a pretty eerie scene, and actually kind of cool, and she turns around to see herself behind her. Now, that might be another cliche, but it's done actually kind of well here. Vera arrives at the cafe, and she wants to go confront the ghost with her mother, but of course, her mother wants nothing to do with this nonsense, so Veronica takes off with the kids. So, instead of leaving the kids there, like she should, and go confront the ghost by herself, she's like, I'm gonna bring these kids into danger with me. Once they get home, Veronica takes out the spirit board. This scene takes way too fucking long as she holds up the spirit board and slowly moves the pieces back together. I kid you not. She has decided to have the children help her contact the spirit. Vera fixes the spirit board as Antonito draws protective symbols on the walls. But because he's a little bastard, he flips a page and draws a summoning symbol on the wall to bring the great red dragon. Well, now Dollarhide is going to come fuck shit up. Irene, Vero, and Lucia put their fingers on the glass. The door swings open thanks to the wind monster. And the glass moves to C. Vero commands the ghost to get the fuck out. And the three kids sing Centella to say goodbye to the ghost. Lots of noises in the background while they sing. The Simon Says game starts going off and we see the door close. The camera continues to move around the room in a circle. Lots of loud banging, and the door opens again as the spirit board again rips in half. The glass tips over and rolls to the hallway. Later, glass. But stop me if you've heard it before. Vero goes to investigate. So glass is still taking a trip down the hall, and it stops at the door to Vero's room. Thankfully, it decides to knock on her door. Vero has a great terrified look on her face throughout this, though. She kneels down and the door opens by itself. And the glass just lets itself in. That's kind of presumptuous. Veronica grabs her flashlight and shines it on her overturned mattress. She touches the mattress and gets jump scared when something grabs her arm. They play tug of war with it and before she hauls ass away. All the lights in the hallway blow up as she returns to the kids. She then calls emergency services and we hear the call from the beginning of the movie. Antonito walks up to the door and a black creature grabs him and hauls his ass away. Veronica runs around screaming for Antonito before she sees the creature walk past the bathroom window. She breaks it open and jumps into the bathroom where she finds Antonito. She then grabs him and runs away again. Now Lucia and Irene are missing. She just can't keep track of these fucking kids. She slaps Irene for some reason before all four run away. We see the mother watching a bunch of cop cars heading towards her house and she runs outside. Irene and Lucia head outside, but stop and ask where she left Antonito. She's holding him, but when she looks in the mirror, her arms are empty. This was probably the coolest part of this movie, and almost saved it for me. Because, yeah, she's literally holding a fucking kid, looks in the mirror, and her arms are fucking empty, but she's like pretending to hold something. The kids want Vera to join them, but she runs back to find Antonito. Veronica runs back upstairs as the mother arrives. She hears Lucia and Irene screaming for Vero. Veronica makes it back to the house and runs through it as everything falls on the walls. Vero heads back to the bathroom and sees Antonito in the tub before he gets dragged away again. The creature backhands Vero and she hits her head on the mirror, breaking it. She then grabs a shard of glass as Antonito runs away from her. At this point, she is bleeding pretty fucking badly. Vero starts to walk after Antonito as a black creature follows her down the hall. Its shadow then creeps across the wall, causing shit to fall. He opens a closet to show Antonito hiding there. He keeps saying Vero over and over, then switches to no. Vero realizes that she is not herself anymore, but she is now the creature. And then we see... oh boy. We see things from her perspective, and apparently she did in fact choke Irene and burned Antonito. So everything that's been going on is actually her doing. She then proceeds to raise a shard of glass to her throat and cuts herself. The creature, who we now may just be in her head, stuffs its hand down her throat. The inspector arrives to see Vero having a seizure while screaming before she drops to the ground, and she appears to be dead. They wheel her outside and we see that she is actually still alive. They show her wolf shirt before cutting to the inspector walking through the house. He picks up a picture of Veronica that then proceeds to burn his fingers, and then the picture then starts on fire. The lights come back on, and someone on the radio says that Veronica has just died. We see the most cinematic thing you can do at the end of a movie, somebody typing on a typewriter. What is this, the fucking Lord of the Rings? The inspector begins his report, and we get the police report saying that there was paranormal events and other officers experienced nausea while there. Veronica's picture then reverse burns and is back whole again. And that is how the movie ends. So again, like I said, it seemed... this is like... the movie has such a problem with this. Because, like I said, they couldn't just be just present it as like, maybe this happened? Maybe it was supernatural? Maybe it was just her? They like do a little bit of both. And it doesn't work out that way because... her being like, oh, I choked my fucking family out, I tried to burn Antonito, stuff like that. All that stuff was me. That's great. It's not great. I mean, those kids are fucked up. But it's great in the perspective of, you know, okay, you have it where this movie is essentially a person who's just having a fucking mental breakdown and is a danger to her family and herself. But then they're like, oh, but also, like, the picture burned up in front of that dude's fucking hands and burned his fingers, so clearly she was possessed. So you're like, okay. So this event that actually happened, you are saying, like, well, it's not her fault, you know, even though she, you know, almost killed three fucking children and eventually led to her own death, you're saying, oh, it totally was the fucking demon creature or whatever like that, or her dad's penis infecting her, whatever the fuck it was that proceeded to happen here. But, you know, whatever. It's a Spanish movie. It's on Netflix. You can go watch it and think for yourself what you're going to think. But me personally, this one was kind of a slog for me to get through. I actually watched this in three parts just because it was kind of fucking boring to me. So I don't know why everyone was so like, this was the greatest movie of all time. Because to me, not really. But, yeah, you know. Let me know what you think. You can email me at the/sanitarium@gmail.com, or you can you know, hit me up on Twitter at /podcast. With that, we will be back shortly, I promise, this time, because I am reinvested in this, and I'm going to begin a series going through every single one of the Friday the 13th movies. So gear up for that. With that, stay creepy.